Israel is Jacob. Jacob changed his name. Verse 3, chapter 37 of the book of Genesis. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. Now I want to say in verse number 3, that's dangerous to love one of your children more than you love another. I want to say that tonight up front in case I don't get back on it. If you have 15, you shouldn't have one pick. Amen. Sometimes one of them will be closer to your heart than another time. Amen. They might need you more at one time than they do another. But you should love all your children the same. Did I get amen on that?
Amen.
All right. Verse number 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Did you know that's why a lot of parents are hated? Amen. And could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren. And they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And if you don't know what that obeisance is, they worshiped. They bowed before them. Amen. So we'll stop right there. You can be seated and let's pray. Father, as we bow in your presence tonight, we pray that you'd give us wisdom and understanding. May the hand of God be upon our lips and upon our mind and upon our heart. And God, if you don't speak to us, we can't speak to the people. We're reminded in the Word of God that you spoke to Moses. And Moses spoke to Aaron, and Aaron spoke to the people. Because Moses had an impediment of speech. But tonight I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit does the speaking to my soul as I speak to these people. God, that we might get something from the Word of God and be a blessing and a challenge and a strength and an encouragement. And we'll pick up something from the Word of God that'll be a blessing in our daily life. That'll help us pick our feet up and set them down in the grace of God and walk according to the precepts of the Word of God and not deviate to the right or to the left from it, but God, stand straight and tall and walk the way you'd want us to walk. And we'll give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. Amen. The last message I preached on this and brought forth last week, I believe, was we found that at the end of the book of Genesis, the Israelites were in Egypt. You remember Joseph said, and when he died, he said, do not leave my bones in Egypt. And, you know, he asked him to take his bones out. And Egypt, let me just give you this by way of introduction. There's three places in the Word of God mentioned that you do not need to live in. Now, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Or at least we're not supposed to be. If you're of the world tonight, you're disobedient to God. We're not out of this world, we're in it. And we'll be in it until God calls us out of here. But as long as we're here, we're not to be part of it. We're only pilgrims and strangers passing through. But there's three places, and I've mentioned this many times in preaching down through the years, and it don't bother me to repeat it. It might bother you to have to hear it again. But there's three places you don't need to be. Number one's Egypt. You never need to live in Egypt. God's people should always move from Egypt. God wants His people in the land of Canaan. In the land of Canaan is a land that's flowing with milk and honey. God wants you to have blessings. You can't get blessings in the world. Although tonight, if you're in the world, you don't have to be off the world. And I'm going to address that tonight as we look in the Word of God here. And we're finding that Israel is in Egypt. And I said at the last of the message last time that I was going to tell you how they got into Egypt. We're finding out in chapter 37 starting tonight. And we're going to show you how that they got in Egypt. And then, of course, they stayed in Egypt for 430 years. Egypt's one of the places you don't want to be. Number two, you don't want to be in Moab. We know in the book of Ruth that Abimelech and Ruth, and with two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, went down to Moab. The Bible calls Moab God's washpot. That's a place of backsliding. And Ruth was brought into the family. Of course, I said he took Ruth. He didn't take Ruth, but he took Elimelech and Naomi and Mahlon and Chilion four, but they come out less than that. Stayed 10 years, stayed longer than they wanted, needed to stay, and longer than they wanted to stay. And that's a place of backsliding, and God can get them in the right shape to get them back in the land of Canaan. And they finally went back to Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and the house of praise. And then there's a third place that you don't want to be, and that's Babylon. The Israelites were 70 years in Babylonian captivity. And Babylon is a place of apostasy, and a place of apostasy is where the judgment of God is on you. Now, some of you may be dwelling in Egypt tonight. Your ways are of the world. You're not living separated from the world. You can live in the world and be separated from the world, right? But some of you may be in the world and not separated from the world, and you become like the world, much like Lot and his family got to, and brother, God had to bring them out of it and destroy the wicked city of Sodom and Gomorrah. But you can live in a better place in the world than sometimes most folks live. And Moab, you don't want to go. And Babylon, you don't want to go. So stay with God so that you won't have to go either one of those. Those are in stages. Egypt will get you to Moab. Moab will take you to Babylon. And brother, Babylon will take you to your knees. Or will take you to your grave. Amen. A lot of the saints of God have got to Babylon, and God had to bury them before He could ever get them out of there and get them back in Canaan. And so they filled a premature grave. I don't want that. Now let's look and see how they got into Egypt. We are finding tonight that Joseph is the prize child of Jacob or Israel. And when they found that out, it brought hatred. Now two things it done tonight. I believe it caused hatred to the daddy, and I believe it caused hatred to the brother. And it put an animosity between those. And it put a jealousy. That's what happens when you show, some sort of difference between the two or three or four. Amen. You should never do that. I mean, don't show respect to one or to another. I believe the preacher ought to be that way. I've always told pastors and preachers, you can't have friends in the church. Amen. I hope every one of you are my friend. Amen. You're certainly my sheep. You're my members. But I want you to know tonight, I don't want to show respect to any one of you. I know I've got children in this church tonight, and it does cause a problem sometimes, but as a pastor, I have to take my stand, and even with my own children, many times say, no, you can't do that, and I have to, you just cannot have partiality. Amen. Has to go down the line. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we need to learn that. Now, so what happened? Joseph tonight, he was hated. But he dreamed a dream. And he said, what happened is, here we had these sheaves. He said, we were binding sheaves in the field. And he said, my sheaf rose up. It rose up, or arose, and stood upright. And then your sheaves came along and stood up round about and made obeisance, or they began to worship. Now, that made them hate him even more. What he's saying is, you're going to bow to me one of these days. Now, that's not exactly what Joseph said. But that's, in effect, what God meant with the dream that he gave Joseph. And I don't believe Joseph was even telling them that they was going to worship him or bow before him. But he's letting them know what his dream was, that there was the sheaves. And, of course, they got together and decided, what we're going to do is get rid of this little rat. Amen? We're not going to put up with that. So you remember the story how that his father, Jacob, sent him down to check on them, and they went down there. And matter of fact, his father gave him a coat of many colors. You know the story. We've heard that all our life, haven't we? And so we get off down into Egypt. We get off down there where they are. And we find that something's going to happen. And something's going to take place. Notice verse 8 through 11 now of chapter 37. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Now, how many were they? 12. These are the 12 tribes of Israel, how they come up to head the tribes. And he said, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars. And he talked about that. He said, they made obeisance to me, the 11 stars did. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Now what he's saying is the sun and the moon, which is the mother and the father, and the 11 stars, or the others, are going to bow. And he said, hey, they're going to bow before me. Basically is what he's saying, but not technically, amen, straight out word for word. And so we're going to find out that that is a dream of God. Now, before you get out of kilter here with this message, let me tell you this. Don't go home tonight and dream something and think it's going to have some real spiritual, amen, thought to it. And don't try to figure out what you dreamed last night in respect to the Word of God. We're not living in them days now. If you quit drinking buttermilk and wild onions for supper, you might not have as many dreams. Hebrews chapter 1 said, God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spoke to us by the prophets, and I believe He spoke to us in dreams and revelations. The Bible said, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. And God speaks to us now through the Spirit of God and through the Word of God. They did not have a full copy of the Word of God. We do have tonight. And we don't need anything else, and we are to abide by the Word of God. God didn't tell you to go listen to dreams and try to see visions. He told you to take up His Word and abide by it. Amen. It might have wilted some of your feathers, but that's the truth. Now, let's go on a little bit here. So in chapter number 37, in verse number 28, his brethren got together and said, well, they, before that, in verse 20 down through 27, they decided they was going to sell him. See, in verse 27, it said, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Have you ever heard of the Ishmaelites? Where'd they come from, reckon? From Ishmael. Now, you've got to watch all them ites in the Bible. The Hittite, the Jebusite, the Canaanite, the Hivite, the Ishmaelite, and sometimes you've got to watch the Israelite. Amen. But you better take it the way the Bible teaches it. So we'll find tonight that these are the worldly ones, and they're looking at this, and so they're going to sell him to the Ishmaelites. And let him said, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Now what we're going to do, we're going to sell him. We're not going to kill him. We'd love to kill him. But we're not going to kill him. We're going to sell him. I believe that's basically in the mind of those boys. So in verse 28, the Bible said, then there passed by Midianites, merchant men, and they drew. Now, as a matter of fact, they put him in a pit. If you'll go back and study that, they took him in verse 24. Took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. In other words, he wasn't going to drown. They're saving him in the pit, but the Midianites come by. The Ishmaelites didn't get him. Then there passed by the Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. So the Midianites got him, gave him, sold him to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites put him in the Egypt. Amen. That's how he got in Egypt. Well, how did the Israelites get there? Well, they have some more dreams. Now, we know the story, and I'm going to cut it short because we could stay on this a long time, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of long time tonight on it. But in Genesis chapter 39, here's how they get down there in 39, chapter 39, verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, we also know that he was a right hand of Potiphar. Amen. He rose up in position. And Potiphar's wife tried to entice him to lie with her. And he left his coat with her. And she lied on him anyhow. Amen. And got him put in prison. And to make the story short, the baker, the butler and the baker come along. And they're in prison because of their mischievous deeds, and they dream dreams, and Joseph has to kind of get some of them straightened out. And we'll go on a little bit further and see this. In chapter 39, verses 10 through 20, we'll find some things happening there. In verse number 10, it said, "And it came to pass as she spake," this is talking about Potiphar's wife, "spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." Amen. He left that place. That's what you're supposed to do. Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, if you'll study Joseph's life, you'll find that he is more of a type of Christ than probably any character of the entire Bible. You'll find so many ways that he went right down the line as the Son of God, or like the Son of God. So the story goes on. And we'll find in chapter number 40 that the butler is restored. In chapter number 40, and we'll see in verse number 21, the Bible said, "And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them." That's what was happening in the dream. He told them that the baker's going to be hanged, and they're killed or died. He told him that the butler would be restored, and the baker, would be killed. The Bible said in verse 23, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." Sometimes people forget you. Now, in chapter number 41, look at verse number 25. This is important that we look at this to get the background. Verse 25, "And Joseph said to Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." Now, what did he dream? Let's go back in this chapter and find out what was dreamed. In chapter 41, verse number 3, the Bible said, verse number 2, Pharaoh had dreamed a dream. He said, "And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, cattle, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean A flesh kind did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke." What happened? He had these 7 cows come up, and some of them were well-favored, as fat. Amen. Make good T-bone steaks. And then there were 7 more come out skinny as a rail. And the 7 skinny ones eat the 7 fat ones. Pharaoh said, "What's going on?" In verse number 5, "And he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good." That's pretty good corn. "And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream." Now he could not interpret this dream, but he heard that there was one down there in the jailhouse called Joseph that was an interpreter of dreams. Called him up before him and said, "Tell me what's going on." Well, here's what Joseph said. He said, "Here's what's going to happen. Those 7 plenty, or those good fat kine, they're going to be 7 years of plenty." Amen. "Then you're going to have 7 years of famine. And the 7 years of famine are going to eat the 7 years of plenty." Amen. And he said, "What you're going to have is a famine in the land. For the next 7 years, you're going to be able to put up crops. For the next 7 years, you're going to produce. But then the next 7 years, you're going to have to starve nearly to death. So we better do something in these 7 years." So Pharaoh said, "I'm going to put you over this thing. I'm going to put you in charge." And so this is what Joseph done. He started gathering in everything and storing it up, just like God had told Pharaoh it was going to happen. And the land was filled with plenty for 7 years, and then the famine come. But now remember, they didn't know that down there in Israel. They didn't know that down there in Canaan. They didn't have anything down there. Well, the story goes on. You know what happens? When Jacob finds out that they're having a land of plenty down there in that land of Egypt, look with me. I want you to go to chapter 42. In chapter 42, verse number 1. "Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do we look one upon another? He said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." Now remember this. Jacob thinks and believes that Joseph is dead. His brothers have told him that he's been killed. He's dead. and they give him that colored garment and took it back and showed him, said, look, it had blood on it, to put animal blood on it, and took it back, said, he's been killed and he's no longer. And so Jacob now has grieved, and he knows now or thinks in his heart that his son Joseph is gone. And the boys, the brothers, they don't pay no attention. They can think less and not even care in their mind. And never would they ever thought that their brother would be raised up into a place called Egypt, into prominence. So what's happened? He said, now I want you to go down to Egypt and get some corn. Go down there. When they get down there, Joseph recognizes them. Amen. But they don't know him. And you know, a time or two they go back and forth, and finally we'll find something that happened. And when they find out that they're the family, brother, their hearts are changed. They go back and then talk to their dad, and he wants to get Benjamin, the smallest one, to come down, the youngest one. Jacob don't want that to happen, but finally gives in to it. But I want to show you something in chapter 45. Turn over in chapter 45. You'll read chapter 42, 43, and 44. When you get home, you'll find out what happened to Joseph and his brethren, and how that Joseph got their attention. And they thought they was in trouble, and how that he got their attention. We won't talk about that tonight. Don't have time for it. As a matter of fact, that's not helping us with the whole concern of the Jew at this particular time. But in chapter 45, I want you to go down to verse number 10. When you get down to verse number 10, I want to show you, here's what we are tonight in the world. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 45, verse 10, thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. When they all got down there, Joseph makes a plan with Pharaoh and says, my people are coming down here, and they're going to be living here. And he says, I want you to take care of them. And so Pharaoh says, you can have a certain portion of land. Here's what happens in verse 10. Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Amen. Now thank God tonight, God's got us a little place of Goshen in the world. You said, where is it? I believe it's the house of God. If you want to tonight. He said, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. He said, there's going to be 7 years of this thing, but there's 5 of them left still to go. So I'm going to put you in the land of Goshen. Thank God I like the land of Goshen. Amen. You know what the land of Goshen is to the child of God? It's the little part of heaven we have to go to heaven in. Amen. I get to living in Goshen every once in a while. The world don't know nothing about it, but every once in a while, oh, hallelujah, glory to God, praise His name. They don't understand that. You don't know that if you don't live in Goshen. You've got to get down to Goshen. Amen. Some of y'all in the world, and the world's got you so addled, got you so disturbed, got you so concerned. You've got your mind on things instead of God. You got your mind on how to make a living and get everything paid. Amen. And have a little dime or a nickel to go to the store in with. Amen. And a fancy car to drive and a good suit of clothes to wear. And you ladies, some fine looking shoes. You're more concerned about them kind of things than you are the things of God. Say amen. But amen. Thank God you can go down to town without a nickel in your pocket. Amen. Matter of fact, as far as that's concerned, you don't even have to have a penny in your pocket. Why, yeah, preacher, I know, but you can take plastic. Well, amen. Your plastic may not be no good. You can still go to town with no plastic. Amen. And you can go to town with no money in the bank and without a penny in your pocket. Amen. And still holler, hallelujah, glory to God, I'm saved by God's grace if you're living in Goshen. Amen. Now, some of you folks is down and out. Amen. Wake up. You've let the world take you down. Let's go a little further with this. In chapter 45 and verse number 46. Excuse me. 46 and verse 28. In chapter 46 and verse 28. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. So he set them up a place to live that's going to be near them, that he'll take care of them. It's not out in the real courts of Egypt in the streamline. I'm going to show you in a minute why God put them in Goshen. I'm telling you how they got in Egypt. And if God's got you in Egypt, and He has, are you in the world tonight? Well, let me say, hey, you're in the world. Now let me ask that question again. How many of you are in the world? Okay. I'm trying to get you to understand where you are. You are in the world tonight. Surely you don't think you've died and gone to heaven tonight. You're still in the world. Well, now if you're in the world tonight, God wants you not to be of the world. And He's got a place for you in this world if you listen to Him. And let's go on. In verse number 29 of chapter 46, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, that's Jacob, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. He hadn't seen his dad in a long time. Matter of fact, his dad thinks he's dead. And here's a reunion, brother, like you've never seen. And I would like to stop. I won't do it. I'd like to stop tonight and preach the type of that. Amen. But we won't. Go down to verse 34. He said that ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle. Now he's going to tell him. He said, now just be careful about what you say. Everybody down here works with cattle. They're not too fond of sheep herders. And all you've ever done is been shepherds and raising sheep. So be careful down here in Egypt. While you're in Egypt, you've got to be careful about what you say. Because down here in Egypt, they don't like sheep herders. Amen. Said, just be careful. Well, I believe every child of God ought to be careful what to say. Half of you cut off about 6 inches of your tongue and still be better off. Amen. Amen. We got hoof and mouth disease. Open mouth, insert foot. All right. I want you to go over just another chapter, chapter 47 and verse 1. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. Now he's going back to Pharaoh. He's telling them where they're at. Where are they? And behold, they are in the land of Goshen. Amen. Now that's where Pharaoh said they can go. Now, I don't think Pharaoh had anything to do with it, really. He gave them the land, but I believe God had already planned it out. I'll tell you why he put them down there in Goshen. Pharaoh didn't think much about it, probably didn't know what he was doing. But in verse number 4, I want you to see, he said, they said, moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come. For their servants have no pasture for their flocks. For the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. Now, verse 5, and Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. Look in verse number 6, the land of Egypt is before thee. Now he said this, in the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. Where is the best of the land? In the land of Goshen. Let them dwell. God put them in the best part of Egypt. Amen. Now, can you not see that tonight? Wake up. We're in the world tonight. We're not of the world. But I'll tell you what, it's better to be saved and born again and washed in the blood and know you're going to heaven living in this world. That's the best part of this world. To know you're saved by God's grace. We're in the best part of the land tonight. If you're say, you said that's the Bible Belt. Well, here in the Bible Belt, things get tough every once in a while. But I want to say to you tonight, being saved in the world is the best part. And he even reminds us of that because in verse 11 it said, and Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And brother, I want you to know down there, it's in the land of Goshen. Now, God bless you. Now, I want to give you a few things here tonight and I'm going to quit. Now, they stayed in Egypt for 430 years. But as the time went on, they got away from God even more and they become slaves to the Egyptians. That's not what we need to be tonight, slaves to the world. When the world gets a hold of you, they begin to operate and own you. As a child of God, we're to lift the name of Christ and live the name of Christ and live the Word of God and shine our lights in a dark world to let people know who we are and who we are. But just like in America, we've got quiet. We've got lockjaw. We've quietened down. And the world now has taken over our liberties. And we are now becoming in bondage, just like the Israelites dead to Egypt. Do you see the picture tonight? We're no longer free like we used to be in the world. And we're now becoming under bondage. Now you have to watch what you say, where you say it, when you say it. You have to watch what kind of Bible you carry. Amen. I carry the right one. Don't pay no attention to it. But I'm talking about if you want to pay attention to what the world thinks about you tonight, you're going to have to give some attention to these things. God wants us to live free and clean and straight regardless. And we know tonight that we'd get more opposition if we stood straighter for God. You know that as well as I do. And so we'll see that things are happening and taking place in chapter number 50 and verse number 8. Look here. Chapter 50 and verse 8. And all the house of Joseph and his brethren and his father's house, only their little ones and their flocks and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. I want to give you two more things about Goshen. Go to chapter 8 of the book of Exodus. Chapter 8 of the book of Exodus. If you're living in the land of Goshen where God wants you to be, where God's got for you to be, I'll guarantee you God has some protection down there. In Exodus chapter 8, verse 22, "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there." When the plagues start coming on Egypt, those that's down there in the land of Goshen did not have to go through the plagues. Amen. That's right. The world tonight, they can't understand what's happening. They're fretting. They're wringing their hands. They're drinking Maalox. They're taking sleeping pills. They're taking nerve pills. They're in a turmoil. The world's that way. They can't understand what's happening to the money system. They can't understand what... Somebody said gas went up, and I noticed that the pumps, they was right. Gas is going up. And somebody said, "I'm just scared to death. Gas is going to get so high. I never worry about gas." Amen. It goes $10 a gallon. Brother, I'll just keep going because I believe God's going to keep me going. Or I'll sit down at the house. Amen. I believe God will take care of us. Amen. I believe that. I was in the Holy Land in 1970. Then the gasoline in the Holy Land then was $5 and something. And now here, it's been, how long's it been since 1970? Amen. I didn't want to worry about it. I'm not even going to get my mathematics out right now. But I'm thinking about that. That's been a year or two ago. Amen. And you know what? It still has not went to $5 a gallon. I'm more concerned about $5 gallon milk. I am $3 gas. Amen. I get tired of having to pay more for potatoes and soap. I'll tell you what, my wife brought some little soap in the other day. It must have been a deal or something. Had a little pack on that thing. You know what to do? I opened it up, we used the dial, and they done had some of it shaved off and had it curved out in there, and they even had the letters punched down deep, dial. Now, I know good and well, they don't take a mathematician to figure this out, but they done cut too much soap out of it. They're recycling that and getting it. Yeah, if you cut enough dial letters off of my soap, you'd make another bar. Ain't that right? Boy, I'm more concerned about that. Amen. Since somebody said that godliness is next to cleanliness, I certainly want to have some cleanliness and I'll at least use some dial. Ain't got nothing to do with it, but anyhow. I'm telling you, as I look at these things, I'm more concerned about those. But the world is doing this, and they can't understand. You know what? We're down in the land of Goshen, and God said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." God said, "I'll take care of you." Amen. You might be down to soup, beans, and taters one night and taters and soup, beans the next. Amen. And then once in a while, God will give you a little onion to throw in it, some cornbread. But I'll tell you tonight, brother, we can eat on anyhow. It may not be the T-bone steak. Some of you have got a high society diet. Amen. Got to have T-bone steak every meal. Amen. I was raised, you didn't have none of that. We sit down at the table sometimes. You know what my mom would open up to eat? A can of blackberries. A quart of blackberries. And put a, you know what she'd do? She'd make some biscuits. And we'd put them blackberries in the plate. Sprinkle a little sugar on if we had sugar. And we went a little bit thin with that. And we sopped up blackberries and biscuits. How many's had that for a meal? Huh? I mean a meal. I've had it for a meal. Nothing else in the house. You know what my snack before bedtime was? Cornbread, if there's any left. A little piece of cornbread. And if I could find it, a little bit of ketchup in the refrigerator. And I'd dip a little ketchup on it if I could hide from my brothers. There wasn't much at our house left over. Amen. I ate beans and taters. I thought, surely I'd get grown. I won't eat no more of them. I had them for lunch today. Amen. Still like them. Won't hurt you. Amen. Well, go on. Let's look at this. They was in Egypt for 430 years. And then God delivered them out. In Exodus chapter 14, He delivered them out of it. We'll not get into that tonight. Now I want to give you these little things and then we'll close. Did you know that the Jews tonight do not know who they are? As far as the tribes are concerned? Not a Jew knows where he comes from. You went to Israel tonight or New York or wherever all the Jews are and said, "What tribe are you of?" He might make a stab and try to tell you, but there's 12 tribes. He don't know where he come from. He does not know all those in the Old Testament from Genesis up through the Old Testament. All the way through the Old Testament could tell you what tribe of Israel they come from. But when you get in the days of Christ, they could tell you. Amen. When Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary, went to the grave and arose on the third day, everybody knew who they were. They could tell what tribe. I'm of the tribe of Judah. Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. And I believe the tribe stayed open and clean and clear and pure all the way up to Jesus, because God wanted the world to know that Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, because He was already prophesied to come from the line of the tribe of Judah. So there we find the genealogy, and it's brought all the way through. But then in 70 A.D., after Christ had already ascended back into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, 70 years later, after the death of Christ, Titus and the Romans come through. And they destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the records, and Jews do not know tonight from what tribe they are of. Isn't that amazing? I wish I had time. Oh, we'd turn over to chapter 7 of the book of Revelation and let you know tonight that God knows exactly what tribe every one of them are. Because after this church is called out of here, and we rise, brother, out of this world, and our bodies have been changed if we hadn't already died, I want you to know then God will seal the seal of God in the forehead of 144,000 Jews, 12,000 out of every tribe in the 7th chapter. God says, "I'm going to go down and get them," and He can pick them out. They may not know, but He knows. Amen. So it is amazing how that God's got His Jew right in line where He's at. He brought him out of Egypt and he's been dispersed. Now the Jew's been put about everywhere. He's been all over the world. He's been dispersed among the Gentiles. Been having to pay taxes to the Gentiles. Bought and sold with the Gentiles. He's been educated by the Gentiles. He's fought in the war with the Gentiles. Amen. But His blood is still pure. The Jews, of all races of people upon this earth, are the most pure people. You do find some that are intermarried. You do find some that are married Gentiles. I've known several Jews down through my course of ministry that have married Gentile brides. Amen. And I know a Christ in heaven tonight that's got a Gentile bride too. The Lord Jesus Christ. But as a whole tonight, the Jews keep themselves separated. They're the most pure race upon the earth today. And God has said it that way to be that way. Brother, they make good Americans. They make good Germans. They make good of every nation wherever they go. They don't mind flying on the flag of all those. They can live in any climate. Brother, they can adapt to any situation. They can serve under any flag. They can learn to speak any language. They can mix and mingle among every one of us. But God still has His hand on them, and they're pure. They don't even know it. Now let me give you something in closing tonight. My time's done caught me. And we can learn a lot about the Jew as we study it. If you don't get this Jew right, you're not going to get the Gentile right, and you're not going to get the church right. Let me say this. In the Old Testament, God had the Jew in the main line, and the Jew, he was God's people by what? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. What is Abraham? He's a man of faith. God teaches from the 11th chapter of Hebrews that a Jew had to get in by faith. And you know how that they're saved by faith? In the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You said, but He hadn't shed His blood. No, but the promise. They looked to the cross of Calvary. They had the promise of the Messiah coming, the Redeemer coming. And by faith, they looked to Calvary. He came. Now, we're saved by faith tonight, and we look back to Calvary. How are we saved tonight? By grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what they were saved by. When the church is called out of here, those Jews in the tribulation hour and the Gentiles as well, what are they going to be saved by? By faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You'll find in the Word of God in the book of Revelation several times they had the robes, amen, washed and made white by the blood of the Lamb. Right? God has no different times and different periods and different dispensations, but God deals with man in the same way. It's always got to be through repentance and faith in Jesus, God's Son. But in chapter 28, I believe it's 28, let me see, Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'm closing with this. We're finding tonight that God is doing it and working with the Jews, and one of these days the Jews. Now, you see, we're in the, and I don't want to rush this because I'm going to have to deal with it a little later. We are in the days of the Gentiles. We're in the day of the Gentiles. We're not in the days of the Jews now. God's given us a different time. We're in the day of grace. God's dealing with the Gentiles. In the Old Testament, He dealt with the Jew. But there were Gentiles got in. Amen. There's Gentiles saved in the Old Testament. I can give you a few. We'll do that before we get out of there. Now, in the New Testament, God's dealing with the Gentile. But guess what? There's Jews getting saved today. Amen. And there'll be in, after the church is called out, there'll still be Jews and Gentiles saved. Amen. Now, where did the Gentile go in the Old Testament didn't get right with God and didn't get saved? Where'd he go? I mean, listen, don't draw back like you don't know. They went to hell, just like a Jew did if he didn't know God. Now, in the day of grace today, where does the Gentile go if he don't get saved? Amen. Don't act so reluctant. All right, where will the Jew go if he don't get saved today? Hell! Well, where will the Jew go in the tribulation hour if he don't get saved? Hell! Where will the Gentile go in the tribulation hour if he don't get saved? Hell! Amen! God has no difference in any of the dispensations. Get that figured in your mind. If you don't get settled on that, you're going to mess up. Now, God said in Deuteronomy 28... Even I was tired and I come, and sure enough, I'm tired now, but I want to give you something. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 63. The Bible said, "And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you." God said, "I brought you in the world, I can take you out of the world." God said, "I was glad to bring you in, but I can be glad to take you out." He said, "And to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone." And that's exactly what they've done. Why? They walked away from God. That's the same thing's happened to America. We've walked away from God and they're serving gods of wood and stone. And brother, God's turning His back on us tonight, not because He don't like us anymore, but because we don't like Him. Amen? That's where it's come to. And I'm going to quit right there. I know I'm going to leave you hanging in the air. But that'll make you come back. Amen. And I hope a little study on the Jews helping us a little bit to understand these things and putting it together with the dispensations and thoughts. And we'll have to get that in there. Listen, there's still a lot of things. We're going to have to go back and do a study. I understand that. On what I've already done in some previous sermons down through the years. And we're going to have to go back and find out where these races come from. All the different nationalities of people. I had a people one time tell me, or a man tell me one time, said, well, God made one race of people over here and He made another race of people over here. And that's contrary to the Word of God because it said Eve is the mother of all living. And if you want to know, you can start studying on tonight. You'll find out where all the races come from if you'll read the 10th chapter of Genesis. Everybody on the face of the earth from every different nationality comes from three people. They're the sons of who? Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Every race of person or people upon the face of the earth come from one of those three. And we'll go back and look at that and try to break that down and just do a review to some of you. But to some of you that don't know, we'll go into that in more detail and try to help you. You see, a lot of people's got to... It don't matter what you think. It don't matter what Dr. Bottlestopper tells you down the street. It don't matter what your commentaries say. But it does matter what God says in the Bible, and God is very plain in telling us where they come from. And when it's plain in the Bible, that's all we need, isn't it? And so we'll go back and see. Then you're going to find out where the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Hivite and the Jebusite and all them otherites come from. Amen. And we'll get into that. God bless you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Amen. You said it's about time. Thank God tonight for His goodness. Thank God what we can find out of the Word of God. It sure is a book of... It's a live book to me. Brother, you get a hold of the Bible and get to reading in it, and it's like a live wire. Amen. I mean 10 volts, 20 volts, and you get hooked in 120. Amen. Sometimes God will double it and put her on 220, 240. Amen. Every now and then He'll give you a 440 charge. Amen. He'll jolt your mind. God knows how to do it. Amen. Let's stand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed while they play. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're going to play. Maybe tonight God spoke to you. I don't know whether you're saved or not. You're not saved. You know where you're going when you die? You're going to hell. The only way tonight you can stay out of hell is through the blood of Jesus Christ by repenting and calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The altar's open to you. Thank God for the Jew. One more verse. Play it.